Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have started discussing chapter 9, which is the Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yoga, the yoga of the royal knowledge and royal secret. Now, obviously, this is in continuation of what we have so far discussed in last two chapters of 7 and 8. In chapter 7, we have seen Jnana Vijnana Yoga, yoga of knowledge, and Visishta Jnana, which is applied knowledge, or what we call wisdom. What typically call wisdom is something which we have gained a knowledge through our own experience. They said, well, look at my gray hair. I didn't have this gray hair standing in the sun outside. All this experience. In other words, what I have learned through my experience became my own knowledge. Somebody told me something that remained as the information level. Then I applied it and it became my own knowledge. That's why in the science college, you have a theoretical classes and then you go to lab. Same thing which you learned there, that H2O makes water, you go and experiment it out, and you yourself realize that's what happens. So the first thing we did, after finishing the first six chapters, talking about who we are, and how do we purify our internal instrument by meditation, by all these sadhanas, selfless actions. See, now what are we meditating upon is what we need to know. So from chapter 7 onward, we started talking about the self-knowledge. Knowledge about my own self. Removing this paradox where I think this is me and still worrying about what happens to me after my death and what happened before my birth. So the self-knowledge, the Jnana Vijnana Yoga said, what is the nature of the Lord and how people approach it in the first seventh chapter and say, there are Chaturvidha Bhajante Maam. Everyone wants to achieve that state of perfect happiness where there is no sorrow, there is no imperfection in my life. In a four ways we approach that, our quest for that perfectness. He said, Artha Jignasu Artharthin Gnani. One who is approaching him out of his distress, Artha. One is approaching because he wants to gain something out of this. One is approaching him because he is just curious. Is there a state of perfectness? And the last one approaches him because he knows out of his own intuition, he knows there is a state of perfectness. He's a Jnani. And then in the last chapter, we say the imperishable Brahman. Yes, there is a state which is infinite, imperishable. And at that state of existence, we call it Brahman. That which pervades everywhere and everything. My world right now is pervaded by my thoughts, And my thoughts are right now limited. So my world is limited. I can think about the things only which I have experienced in the past, or I've heard about it from others, or something which I have known from reading the books. But my thoughts are limited to that, therefore my world is also limited to that. And therefore, beyond this world, I'm always afraid or curious. What is beyond my thoughts? What is before my birth? I can think about my life as far as I can think in my childhood. I can think about my life in future as far as I can think I will live. So I had this guy who was trying to sell me annuity and said, this thing gives you lifetime income from whenever you start. And I said, when can I start? I said, you can start at the age of 70. I said, my lifetime may not be more than 5-6 years after that. So your lifetime income doesn't do much for me. You know? He said, why do you say that? I said, by statistical data. How many people in my family have lived beyond that? So I know my future by what? By observing in my family what has happened. He said, what is beyond that? That's where I get lost. So Bhagavan said, that imperishable Brahman is the state of yourself. So in chapter 8, we have discussed about the nature of that imperishable Brahman and how I, as this limited being, fit into that. That as long as I identify with this limited intellect and mind, this instrument of ego, I constantly come back and forth because I'm hanging on to that identity, if I call it ego. If I reside in my ego, aham, this me, is where I am. As long as I have that ego, Bhagavan says, in the part of your prakriti, you'll come back again and again, taking another instrument of transaction with this world. Continuing in the same argument, now the chapter 9 says, now we'll talk about the royal secret. Why it is a royal secret? Because it is already obvious to you, but you are not aware of it. It's right there, but I can see it. So therefore, it's a secret. And it's a royal science. Because royal, Rajan, Raja, connotes supremacy. In a kingdom, there is nothing higher than a king. In our case, we have president as the highest, but he has many people to question him and tell him what he's not doing right. In this kingdom, Raja was never questioned, even though he is not wearing clothes. Nobody says the king is not wearing clothes. Therefore, it's a supreme, you know, status. This is, this Vidya is a Raja Vidya. It's the supreme knowledge. Beyond that, there is nothing to be known. That is the self-knowledge. I know physics, I know chemistry, I know all this thing, I know all the knowledge about arts and everything else. But Bhagavan says, there is only one thing you need to know about yourself, and there is nothing more to be known. Therefore, it is the supreme knowledge, in the self-knowledge. So the first verse of this chapter starts with Bhagavan's profound statement. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. I am going to tell you this. Gnanam vignana sahitam yat gnatva mokshase asubhat. I'm going to tell you this knowledge along with its visishta gnana, along with its wisdom, its application. Knowing that, you will be freed from, you will be liberated from what? Ashubhat. Anything with this ashubha. Shubha, auspicious. That is good. Ashubha, not good for me. Anything in your life which you consider not good, you will be liberated from that. And we say, well, that's exactly what I was looking for all my life. You know, get rid of all the problems I have, Bhagavan, and I'll be then fine. Then I'll be doing your bhakti forever. Because right now I don't have time. Just fixing my problem. You get rid of that, you got it. My total attention, you know, after that. Bhagavan says, idam tute guhya. This knowledge which is the most deepest, profound secret. Guhya tamam. Guhya secret. Tamam, the supreme secret. I'm going to tell you. You know, always the what is the supreme secret is, it's right there, but nobody can figure it out. That's a supreme secret. Other secrets you can figure out by asking him or that. This secret is right in front of you, but can't figure it out. Person in disguise, you know, walking around in a party, you see in a movie. Everybody sees him, but nobody figures out who he is. So that, and he says, I'm going to tell you this. Why? Because you're anasuyave. We have heard last time. You're a person who do not cavil or carp, who do not raise the petty argument or petty objections. Sometimes people come to lecture to find out how smart the speaker is, see whether he knows anything. Then they will find fault in it. See, if you give an example and say, you know, our life is short, but sun is there forever. And suddenly somebody says, well, that's not true. Sun is not there forever. I can tell you how it works. Well, that was not the intention for the speaker to give that analogy, give you a relationship. But because your purpose is only to see what the speaker does not know, so you are carping at him, raising petty objections, petty arguments, petty faults, errors in that. Because you are not that. You are truly, genuinely interested in understanding. So the person who is like that, he will obviously is not going to learn. Because his mind is not in learning things. His mind is in finding out where the faults lies. So therefore he says, I'm going to tell you this, the deepest of the secret, the most profound of this secret, because so far you have proved that you are a genuine seeker of this knowledge. You really want to find out how to get rid of this sorrows from your life. How can I readjust my thinking pattern so I can function right in this world? They say, having known the jnanam vijnana sahitam yad gnatva mokshase asubhat. After that, you will get rid of all that is asubh, sorrowful, not conducive in your life. Bhagwan, that's what I've been looking for. If you can tell me, then after this, once I know, every time I buy a lottery, I'll be the winner. Every time I'll submit a proposal, I'll be the winner. Every time I put a contract on a property, I'll be the winner. Because you told me that after knowing this, there will not be any sorrow in your life. You will be just a winner. You will never be a loser. Bhagavan said, that's not what it means. What it means is, after that, you will not see anything that is happening in your life and around you as ashubh. Right now, my definition of good and bad is defined by what I want and what I want to reject. Everything which I want to reject is ashubh. Everything I want is shubha. Story about this, father goes to two daughters. One was married to a pot maker, another was married to a farmer. Went to a daughter with the farmer and said, what's happening? This was a wonderful season, a lot of rains, and we are doing very well. And said, well, oh Lord, keep continuing doing that. Goes to another daughter's house, married to a pot maker. He said, so how are things going? He said, pretty bad. This year there was no sun came out, it was raining all the time. We couldn't really bake any pots, so we are really doing not good. Hope Lord does something and stop this rain. So father goes, oh Lord, please stop this rain, you know, so that my daughter will be happy. What a father can do? Same situation, one sees as shubha, other sees as asubha. The shubha and asubha, as we have seen, is the projection of our mind, where we create the shubha and asubha in our life. Once I fix my perception of how to see the world, I may not find anything asubh in it. There's the story in Mahabharata that Yudhishthir and Duryodhan both were under the same teacher. So the teacher said, I have one test for both of you. So calls Yudhishthir first and said, go and find one bad person from this town. Yudhishthir goes off. Call Duryodhan and say, go and find one good person from this town. After a while, Yudhishthir comes back and the teacher says, so where is the bad person I ask you to bring? He says, I'm so sorry, but I couldn't find anybody bad in this town. And then Duryodhan comes back and says, so where is the good person I ask you to bring? He says, I'm so sorry, but I couldn't find any good person in this town. Both have a different way of looking at the world. One cannot find anything bad in this world. Other cannot find anything good in this world. I right now have divided my world into good and bad because of my attachment, my desires, my aspirations of what I want to achieve. When I achieve that, great. When I don't achieve that, the world is falling apart. The Bhagavan said, having known this knowledge, there will not be asubh in your life. You will be forever liberated from these sorrows, because you won't find any in this world. Rajavidya Rajagushyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam. Okay, so what is this which I'm going to learn, which is going to liberate me from all sorrows in my life? It's a Rajavidya, the supreme knowledge. There is nothing higher that you have to learn. Because why are we learning everything? To get rid of unhappiness from my life. Why are you, Neil, going to college? Well, I want to get a degree. Why do you want to get a degree? I want to get a good job. Why do you want a good job? I want money. Why do you want money? In the end, is Swami Tejamanda's story. This delegation goes to India, said, "These Indians are so lazy. We need to motivate them so that they can get out of their poverty." So this delegate goes, find a one person lying under a tree right in the middle of the day. He is the guy. He should be working right now. Instead of he's lying down, woke him up and say, "What are you doing, sir, right now?" "I'm resting." He said, "Well, why are you resting?" He said, "I already did my work." He said, "What do you do?" "I'm a fisherman. I already caught the fish, what I want, and I'm done. I cooked, I ate, and I'm resting." He said, "No, no, sir, you should be catching more fish right now." He said, "Then what?" He said, "Then you can sell them." He said, "Then what?" "Then you can buy a boat." "Then what?" "Then you can buy a big boat." "Then what?" He said, "Have a fishery." "And then what?" "Then you can have people working for you and you can take a rest." He said, "What the heck do you think I was doing before you woke me up, you know? Why do I have to go through all of that to take rest, you know? I'm already resting." So Bhagavan said, knowing this, because there is nothing more to be known, you will achieve that. Rajaguhyam, even though this is available to all of us, myself is imperishable, infinite, unpolluted. Knowing this, I'm not aware of it at all. I never have the inkling that will there be ever a time where I will not exist. I do not feel that. So he said, this secret, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, it is the highest purifier. All these impurities on my mind and intellect has created this world of dichotomy where I see a world of good and world of bad. He said, this purifier will purify this impurity. You'll start seeing the world as is. Uttamam, the highest of it all. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam. So how do I achieve that? Well, do I need to go to a big university and pay all the fees and then get admission? And he said, no, it is self-evident. Pratyaksha avagamam. You will realize in your own self by dharmyam. By following your own dharma. Your own dharma, and we have discussed so many times, dharma is that essential principle which makes you who you are. The essential principle of fire is heat. If there is no heat, it's not a fire. Now I'll tell you, I experienced that in one of our architectural product shows. There's a nice fireplace and this fire burning crazily. Well, this is very safe. It's a child safe. Nobody can get burned. You can put your hand and it's cold. This flame is going on, but it's completely cold. They say, what kind of fireplace it is? He said, well, the heat comes from the top, but the fire is only there for your eyes to see that it's a fireplace. So where does this fire come from where I put my hand and I don't get burned? He said, just a picture. It's just a light project on that. Beyond that glass, they project a light which looks like fire. So your eyes think that's a fireplace. Heat is actually coming from the top, from a heater. So you feel the heat and you see the fire and you're pretty happy that you have a fireplace in your living room. That fire, I obviously concluded, it's not fire. Even though it looks like fire, it acts like fire, it's not fire. But it does not have its essential nature, which is heat, to be called fire. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam. Once you, in accordance with your dharma, look at yourself and try to recognize yourself, it will become evident to you, this knowledge. Susukham, very easy. Susukham. Susukham kartum. It's not very difficult. See, we always start with, all this is good, but it's not possible for us. And that's where we lose out. Because we right away decided, this is not happening for me. We create our own reality. Once we have decided, I'm never going to win in this race, I already created my reality. I will never win this lottery, and therefore I'm not buying it. Of course I'm not winning, because I never bought a lottery. So Bhagavan says, no, no, this is very easy. Susukham kartum, and very easy to do. Avyayam. And it's also not a very temporary gain. Then you may gain it and then it will go away. Then why do I want to go through this? I'll gain for a while and then again I'll be back to where I am. Bhagavan says, no, it's avyayam. Once you have this knowledge, you will never be able to find sorrow in your life, ashubh, anything in this world. In this creation, you will never find that is inauspicious. Right now, I can find too many of things, tsunami, earthquakes, all those things. But once you know the geological reasons why the tsunami happens and the earthquake happens, you wouldn't consider them to be inauspicious. Last one, asraddhana purusa dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mam nivartante mrityutansara vartmane. And Swamiji, I have heard so many people, this Bhagavad Gita for their life, and they are back to square one. Swamiji used to say, he said, you people are doing a great favor to me. You know, because I come here every year. Swamiji used to come every year for almost every city he went. He will come the next year. So we can count on it that Swamiji came in October, so next October Swamiji Yajna will be here. And people like me are obviously waiting for it. Almost Swamiji can count. Say, you are doing a great favor to me. Because I come here every year, you listen to me, you get all inspired. And when I go away, you give my knowledge back to me. Swamiji, take it with you. Bring it back next year. Because say, if you don't do that, I will be useless. Next time I come here, you guys will be all realized. And I won't have nothing to do. They say, you are keeping me employed in this. Time and again, you are coming back to the same classes. You know, going back again and again. Why is that? Asraddhana purusha. The people who have no faith in this. Even though I heard it is so simple. Even though I heard there is nothing need to be acquired other than your self-knowledge. It's imperishable, immutable, all of that say, but asraddhana purusa, one who has no faith in this. Dharmasyasya parantapa, in this essential nature of yourself, that it is immutable, imperishable, one who has no faith in that. O parantapa, another name of Arjuna, aprapya mam nivartante mritya sansara vartmane. They, without achieving me, that eternal self, without realizing their eternal self, they come back again to mrityu sansara vartmane. They come back to the mrityu sansara. This sansara, this life we live in, is called sansara in Sanskrit. My life, samsarati, constantly changing. What was yesterday is not here. So, for this class, or this, there is nothing which remains as is. World has already changed from the time we started this class and now. It has moved on to a different state of existence. And by the time we finish, it will be in a different state of existence. You cannot say it remained the same. You already aged an hour by the time this class is over. So Bhagavan said, aprapya mam nivartante mrityu sansara. This samsara where there is death. That's why in our Puranas, this world is called Mrityulok. Then there is the Devalok, and then the Chandralok, and then the Brahmalok. But this one is Mrityulok. A definite name given to our planet is Mrityulok. The planet of death. In other words, everything is dying every minute. Jatasya dhruva mrityu, we have learned that which takes birth has death. Yesterday somebody was telling me Satya Sai Baba is in a critical health. Satya Sai Baba, who has been God to many and creating all these miracles, he's in a critical health. Why? the body has its own dharma. That body was born, it has to die. This existence, which is a constant death, I die every minute. My past has died and present has born. So there is a constant death, constant change. I come back to it again and again. Without achieving that state of infiniteness, and therefore I cannot get rid of the Ashubha. What is Ashubha? I see that which is dying is Ashubha for me. That which I cannot hold on to it permanently is Ashubha. And in this world, there is nothing really that I can hold on to it permanently. I think this is good. And by the time I realize it is good, it's already gone. So, Bhagavan said, Asraddhadana Purusa, because of this lack of faith in their own self, they constantly come back to this existence of constant birth and death, constant birth and death. We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.